everybody. Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. And today we are going to have an honest conversation with Stuart.
We are, Betsy.
Yay. So glad when Stuart comes to hang out on Table Talk.
Thank you for the invitation once again.
Yes, it's going to be a great conversation. And it's interesting because I was thinking back to the first time you came on, not the first time, but the first time you came on Table Talk to talk specifically about Israel.
Yeah.
Not even a year ago, right? Wasn't it October?
I think you're right.
When all that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember in that conversation, and if y'all haven't watched Stuart and I's conversations over the last months about Israel, you can always go back and catch those. But I remember you saying, watch, Israel will become the target, the enemy very quickly.
Yeah.
And I remember in that conversation going, no, why?
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, it was one of those. And then to watch over the course of the last not even a year, how much has transpired.
A lot has transpired. You know, that wasn't such a brilliant prediction on my part.
No, I get it, but it was for me because I was like, what? They didn't do it yet.
But that's what the scriptures say.
Right.
Will happen. And we have the good or bad fortune of living in a day where that's sort of unfolding.
Yeah.
World opinion is really changing.
It has been a whirlwind of watching what's going on,
yeah,
watching how countries are reacting, and people.
Yeah.
And it has, and that's, y'all, Stuart and I were talking, and I said, hey, we could talk about what's going on. What's the state of things? How are things going? But then we also said, people can find that.
Yeah.
I think I said, read a newspaper. Sorry, I'm not really sure if they have those.
Good luck with that.
Right. Or newspaper online. And so you can find that information. And like you, we were saying, you had your friend Moran,
yes,
from Israel, actually came to Sagemont not that long ago and spoke in the Connect groups that you lead.
He did.
And he's another person that is great to follow on social media, has some different things that come out about what's going on there.
Yes.
You even shared a video with us of a worship that was happening in this, I was about to say storm cellar, but that's not it.
Well, it was in a bomb shelter.
The bomb shelter.
Under fire from Iran,
yes,
when Israel attacked Iran to take out its nuclear facilities. Iran understandably responded.
Yeah.
And here was this group of messianic believers, Jews and Gentiles, who know the Lord Jesus. They were having a worship night. And here come the missiles, the alarms go off, so they had to retreat to a bomb shelter. Every building has one. And they decided, well, let's take our instruments and continuing worship. And it was very meaningful. Songs we are familiar with, but sung in a context that I'm not sure I'd be able to focus on the worship of God when bombs are going
on.
But anyway, they did, and it was quite meaningful.
So
and
great.
And in their midst was an Iranian man who knows the Lord Jesus. He was raised in a Muslim background in Iran and through a series of circumstances found his way to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there was this Iranian man alongside the Jewish believing worship leader. And what a picture, Betsy, of what our agenda really needs to be, reconciliation of people groups through the gospel of peace. So that was a wonderful illustration.
Absolutely.
Of it.
And Jason, our wonderful videographer, technical man, we'll put a link so you can click on that video and actually get to go watch that and listen to it and all of that, because it was really neat. And so there is lots going on. There's lots happening with the conflict in Israel and all that's going on. But what I really wanted to talk with you today is what I see on social media, conversations with people, what's kind of out there, is this debate and sometimes causes disunity among believers of why should we as believers support Israel?
Yeah.
And if we're supporting Israel, is it we're actually supporting the government, the current government of Israel, and agreeing with every decision they make? What does it mean as a believer to say, I stand with Israel, because I think a lot of believers do. Mm-hmm. But I think also a lot of them do, and they don't really know why.
Boy, you are really stirring it up.
Sorry. I said honest conversations, right? And I told her, I'm going to ask the questions that maybe people don't want to, or it is that controversy.
Yes.
Because listen, I also am a firm believer, and it is good for us to be uncomfortable. When we're uncomfortable, that's when we move.
Yes.
If we get too comfy, we just kind of sit where we are, and God wants us to take
steps.
Well,
mission accomplished.
Okay, great. You're uncomfortable. Perfect. Perfect.
So let me just throw my two cents
in.
What does it mean for a Christian to support Israel? It means fundamentally Israel's right to exist in the land. Huh. That's what it means. Why? That is not a political statement. Mm-hmm. It's not a racial, ethnic statement. It's a biblically ordained statement. God ordained that this people group, undeserving though they may be, would inhabit this land. We find this in Genesis, but it's repeated all through Scripture. Mm-hmm. That land promise has never, ever been revoked because it's unconditional. It's not contingent or conditioned on Israel's obedience. If it was, surely they would have forfeited it.
Right.
Now, what they have forfeited is peace in the land, just as we forfeit peace when we sin against the Almighty. So the land promise is a perpetual one based on God's grace. Genesis 12:7, it says, "The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.'" Well, you say that's Genesis, but I can show you how it's repeated all through Scripture. So to support Israel fundamentally means to support Israel's right to exist in the land. Simple as that. Beyond that, we Christians, well-intentioned Christians, could differ. So to support Israel does not mean 100% unbridled, unquestioned support of all that the government of Israel does and says, any more than we submitting to our government means that.
Right.
We vote differently, we protest, we write our congressmen. This is the way it is. So Israel's government is a secular government consisting of unsaved people, by and large, as is ours, by the way, by and large.
Right.
So to support Israel does not mean blind support for all that Israel is doing and saying in the political realm. Interestingly, Israel's only precondition for peace talks with its adversaries is just what I said: recognize our right to exist. That's it. So I could have a lot in common and perfect unity of the spirit with a Christian who has a different point of view of Israel than I do, unless they differ from this fundamental imperative, and that is to support Israel's right to exist in the land. If that goes, I must tell you, I have to question that person's handling of Scripture, not only in that area, but in many others as well.
Yeah. And I think that's one of those things, and this is a much bigger issue just for our generation of believers. So many people put their foundation of what they believe is based on what other people have told them.
Yeah.
Not their own digging into the Scripture and really listening. And so then when you hear somebody else with a different argument, but they make it really well,
persuasive,
we go, oh, maybe
correct.
They're right. Or maybe they're right. Instead of us digging into Scripture and actually looking at what does God's word say, not what does that person say.
Yeah, and so to me, folks would disagree. On this issue, Scripture is clear. For instance, I'll give you another one. Please tell me how it can be taken in any other way. Psalm 105, verses 8 to 11, speaking of God, "He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he spoke to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. And then he repeated it to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, 'To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance.'" In a few verses, we have the eternality of this unconditional land promise made by God to, again, to an admittedly undeserving people.
Right.
So a Christian who doesn't support Israel's right to be in the land is someone I really have a hard time.
Yeah.
I have a hard time. So you hear increasing insinuations of Israel having colonized a land that is not theirs, mm-hmm. subjugated a weaker people group, and that's the term that a lot of young people have really embraced today, colonizing weaker people groups. And the young people today, look, I'm painting with a broad brush, but I'm running into this quite a lot, particularly folks on university campuses. They are right to be upset by injustice mm-hmm. and unfair treatment of any people group
sure.
by any other. And under the guise of colonization, many groups have been subjugated. But young people make the error of coming to this conclusion. If a country is prospering, they conclude it must be at the expense of another mm-hmm. people group. Well, Israel is prospering. They took a desert land and made it bloom
right.
in fulfillment, by the way, of
right.
biblical prophecy. So young people conclude, since Israel is doing so well militarily, economically, and in other ways, and Israel's neighbors and the Palestinians within Israel are not doing so well, it must be because Israel has subjugated them, has colonized them. So therefore, we must be anti-Israel. That is based on total misinformation. Israel has colonized nobody. They were brought back into the land in May of 1948. It's their land. Nobody was forced out of the land. 700,000 residents of the land, Arab residents, were encouraged to leave the land by Arab leaders until they wiped out the Jews, and then they would return. Well, based on the sovereignty and providential care of God, it didn't work out that way. Israel didn't get wiped out. So what do you mean colonizers? What war of conquest mm-hmm. has Israel in its modern history fought? Show me. Even the present terrible, tragic altercation in Gaza, which is now going on way, way too long, that's not a war of conquest. That's a design to protect the citizenry mm-hmm. of Israel, which is the government's primary responsibility, ours and every other's.
Right.
Now, there are claims that Israel has overreacted. 1,200 Israelis were slaughtered, 250 taken captive, and the world community didn't dare criticize Israel for responding. But now, all of a sudden, everyone is criticizing Israel for an overreaction. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, they quote, I just heard today by a commentator, 50,000 plus Palestinians have been killed. Well, five is too many.
Sure.
So I'm not trying
Absolutely.
To argue with the numbers, but the numbers are supplied by the Hamas Agency of Public right. Health. Not exactly the most reliable source.
Right.
Also, that number does not distinguish between Hamas terrorists and civilians.
Right.
Why is that? Because that's the problem. Hamas is so integrated in the civilian community, you can't separate one from the other.
Right.
So it's just based on terrible misinformation, it seems to me. So Israel has a right to protect its citizenry. They haven't forced anybody outside of the land. We mentioned in the previous conversation, Arab citizens of Israel have the same rights
right.
and privileges of everyone. Israel is accused, again, by younger, many Christian people, of establishing an apartheid state. Really? Free elections, members of the Knesset, the Israeli government, are Arab, Muslim folks who've been elected by their constituencies. You can be on the Supreme Court. You can, at one time, the head of national elections in Israel was an Arab Palestinian. You show me any of these possibilities in a true apartheid state. So I think there's a ton of misinformation. And what strikes me is the ease with which folks, particularly younger folks, are embracing the misinformation campaign, mm-hmm. which tells me, now forgive me here for this jump, I think Satan is at work
sure.
more than ever before. I think he's behind this because he knows Jesus is returning, not to New Jersey. He's returning to Jerusalem.
Right.
So if Satan can get hold of that city and that land, I think he does so laboring under the misconception that he can keep Jesus from returning. So this is a spiritual battle, yeah. it seems to me.
Yeah.
And at present, in some ways, it looks like Satan is winning it, only at present.
That's right. He's already lost.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think, I would say is also, I think, yes, we see it in our younger generations, but I think we see it in all of them.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think there is, and I think part of it is because of mass media.
Yeah.
And because it is so in your face. And listen, we know how social media algorithms work.
Yeah, yeah.
If you listen to one thing, that's what they're going to start giving
that's
you,
right.
right? And so I think more and more people are sitting at home scrolling through social media, and that's where they're getting their information and their content.
Yeah.
And it is... You know, one of those where you go, it's surprising across the board how many people.
Yeah.
And part of it, too, maybe is even just starting to realize that this is a thing,
yeah.
which I know sounds silly. But I think we are for a long time able. We were able to live in America.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of did our own thing. Didn't have to see a whole lot of, you know, things that were going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's more. Right there.
Yes.
We don't have to wait for a newspaper.
No, no.
Right? It's right in front of you. And so it is one of those things. I think our older generations are sitting around the cafe with their coffee talking about.
Yes.
You know, and it's, I think there is the thought of 100% Satan is at work.
Yeah.
And listen, the Bible tells us that's what he's roaring around, right? Looking to see who he can get.
And as you said earlier, this whole Israel thing is dividing Christians, which I'm sure is not pleasing to our Lord. So I was thinking, what is our common ground then? If we well-intentioned Christians differ on Israel, what's our common ground? And it occurred to me, if both sides of the issue recommitted to spreading the gospel amongst Jews, that's common ground.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I usually run into. Those who think God has replaced Israel with the church, those who think Israel is subjugating the Palestinian people, those who think Israel is an apartheid state, those who think the Israel of today is not the Israel of the Bible, all of this kind of stuff, generally speaking, don't even come close to thinking about sharing the gospel with Jewish people. In fact, it's reflected by a lot of our missions conferences today. I'll bet you, if you chose a missions conference, even sponsored by our own denomination, you'd be hard-pressed to see anyone there who's a representative of the gospel to Israel.
Hmm.
To Muslim people, yes, and I'm in favor of that. All people need to hear the gospel. But what happened to Jewish evangelism? So this is a very inconsistent thing to me by Christians who are embracing a really hostile position to Israel. Here's common ground between us. Let's commit to propagating the gospel amongst unsaved Jewish people.
Why do you think Israel isn't a place where people naturally think of, I'm going on mission in Israel to share the gospel of Jesus?
So, two reasons. One, Jewish evangelism was quite popular and prevalent after World War II.
Okay.
Because the sympathy of the nations, particularly Christian people, was aroused.
Okay.
These people came out of the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom. So it gave rise to a lot of missions agencies whose intent was to spread the gospel to Jews. Well, we're far enough removed from World War II, particularly in this generation.
Yeah.
They barely even know about the throes of the Holocaust. So we've lost the sympathy vote. And then the second thing is, at present, Jewish evangelism is not very fruitful nor rewarding.
Mm.
But Scripture tells us this.
Yeah.
He has, as a penalty for my people's turning against him, imposed upon us a spirit of stupor, with eyes that see not and ears that hear not. It's not permanent. It's temporary.
Right.
But now you can go to various places where there's a marvelous harvest. You go on marvelous missions trips to places in Africa or India.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tremendous to see the response. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see that in Israel. So as a result, I think a lot of missions ventures don't happen that way.
Yeah.
But listen what God says in Romans 10:21, Paul speaks, and he says, but as for Israel, he has said, God has said, all the day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Paul is invoking a text of Old Testament scripture, and he's mentioning to people in his day, in spite of the hard-heartedness of Jews, God still is stretching out his hands to them. How dare we not? So what I'm seeing today is a lot of criticism of Israel, some of it perhaps justifiable, but our agenda is sharing the gospel. Right. Why don't I keep referring to the younger people? Because, look, I'm sorry, Betsy, I talk to younger people and almost none even think about taking the gospel to Jewish people, going on a missions trip to Israel, or even to a city in our country that has a Jewish population. Uh-huh. It's not even on the map anymore, but they're quick to embrace and a very anti-Israel agenda. By the way, if you support and love Israel, that doesn't mean you can't support and love Palestinian people.
Absolutely.
The two are not mutually exclusive.
Right. It's not one or the other.
It's not one or the other.
Thank goodness, because then what would it be, Texas or Louisiana? I'm like, thank goodness. I think we take these things and put them somehow, we decide them in other places, and we stop and go, okay, but what are we really doing? How are we really supposed to live this out? Is this real? When in our lives really do we say, okay, I like this person because they're this, but I can't like this because they're opposite of that? Oh my gosh, no.
Yes.
It has to be both and.
Yes, it has to be both and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know you and I have talked about this before, praying for Hamas.
Oh, yes.
Because, man, if the leader of that found the Lord.
Oh my goodness.
The amazing ripple effects of that. You know,
pray
we
for
know
those who persecute. That's a commandment.
Yeah.
We don't, one time I mentioned, we are not permitted the luxury of hate. We are not allowed to hate a people group.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And I think there is something that we as followers of Christ have to get to a place of being able to say our unity as Christians and wanting to share the gospel and other people to come to know him has to be the first priority.
So,
and then the other stuff.
That is the point. That is
out
the unifying
factor.
And in other areas, there are matters of Christian liberty. We can differ on these things, but we'll divide over those things if we make those things the main things. We are ambassadors for Christ.
Right.
So I'd be happy if those who are quick to condemn Israel were just as quick to be energized about sharing the gospel with Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. Wanting them to come to know the Lord. And I think it's so interesting because I hadn't thought about it until you just said it. And I don't know why there is this, at least for me, there is this thought of the Jewish people. This is going to sound so juvenile spiritually, and I apologize, but it's just what I'm thinking right now. The Jewish people don't know Jesus the way they should.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where I look at them throughout scripture as God's chosen people, but yet you go, but wait, they need to know Jesus.
Yeah. So listen, Betsy, we talk about a biblical agenda. Romans 10, Paul, brethren, says he. In that sense, he's using the term with reference to fellow believers. Mm. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them. Now, the them are not the brethren, the them are Jews, is for their salvation. For I bear them witness, he says, they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. Our job is to give them knowledge of the means of righteousness through faith in Jesus who suffered and died on the cross for our sins. Where are all those initiatives? Right. Instead, I'm seeing rallies on college campuses. Right. I'm seeing increasing number of young Christian kids embracing an unbelievable misinformation campaign against the only true democracy in the Middle East. And why are we even speaking about Israel? That's because the Bible says much more about Israel than Ukraine,
right,
than Mexico, than Paraguay. Now, if that is disturbing to people, why we're spending so much time, the argument is with God. Mm-hmm. By the way, Israel in the New Testament is mentioned, depending on your translation, about 70 times. Not one time, not uno, not one time is Israel a reference to the church.
Yeah.
And yet, an increasing number of Christians today are embracing this notion that because Israel has at present forsaken God, he has forsaken them and raised up the new Israel, the true Israel, which is the church. Now, how could that be true if Paul in Romans 11 says, and then, that's future from his point of view and even ours,
right,
all Israel will be saved.
Right.
That's not the church. That's ethnic Israel. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons why we should support modern day Israel's right to exist is that from them, there will be a harvest,
right,
of believers on one day.
Yeah.
The 144,000 in the book of Revelation, let's take it to the last book of the Bible, clearly are from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. So if the church has replaced Israel, it's the true Israel. Who are these 144,000? 12,000 from Asher, 12,000 from Naphtali. It's very, very specific.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very, very quick to give up on present-day Israel, saying they're in the land in unbelief and rebellion. Yeah, but Scripture says the ingathering of Israel to the land first will be in unbelief. Yeah. But it's those unbelievers who, through tribulation, ultimately will come to believe. Yeah. Hence, Paul says, and then all Israel will be saved.
That's right.
So I'm a little disturbed because in churches today, increasingly, Christians are very quick to give up on Israel and God's plan, yeah, for Israel. And if in Israel's failings, mm-hmm, God has moved away, I brought this up before, when is he going to move away from us because, yep, of our failings?
Absolutely. That's the thing we have to remember is God is the same,
yeah,
yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and we either believe that or we don't.
Yeah.
We don't get to pick and choose when that's true.
Correct.
And I think part of the reason that it's so hard for us to balance that out is because we do, listen, our flesh looks at Israel and says, they don't deserve that.
Yes. Agreed.
And yet, then how could I look at myself and say, but I do?
Yeah.
And so there is this push and pull of
it's
they
real,
completely turned away.
Arrogance.
Yeah.
Again, referring to Romans 11, Paul says, for I do not want you, brethren, again, he's referring to Christians,
right,
to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. Another translation says, so that you won't be arrogant in your own thinking. And here's what they need to think rightly on, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel,
right,
until the fullness of the Gentiles, and then Israel will be saved. So I'm seeing, frankly, an increasing arrogance on the part of Christians who, because of Israel's obstinate, mm-hmm, rebellion against God, think God has forsaken Israel, but he's accepted me.
Right.
You have the same nature as rebellious Israel. I think that's one of the reasons why God chose Israel, simply to demonstrate human sin,
yeah,
and divine grace.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons that I end up saying there is something special about Israel is when you kind of mentioned this, when I think about the rest of the world, when I think about in Kenya, the country that I love, when I think about injustices that happen in Kenya,
yeah,
they don't bring as much noise as when something's going on in Israel, with Ukraine, with all these different places that you're like, there are horrific injustices happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't get the attention or the backlash,
yeah,
that Israel gets.
Yes.
And so it is one of those where you're like, why Israel?
Yeah,
why? Why? Even looking at World War II with all of the things that went on, it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why that people group. There's so many different people groups. Why
again,
that group?
I advanced this explanation in a prior conversation we had. Satan read the Bible.
Yep. Absolutely.
And he knows that God made promises to the Jews. But if Satan can arrange to drive the Jews into the sea, if there are no Jews in the land, right, then God can't fulfill his promises to them, which means he's a liar.
Yeah.
And if God lied to Israel, what's to keep him from lying to the church? And therefore, it's Satan's way of saying, why do you Christians worship Jesus? You should worship me. He is a liar. He didn't fulfill his promises to Israel. What makes you think he'll fulfill his promises to you?
Right.
That's what's at stake.
Yep.
It's Satan versus Savior, it seems to me.
And, okay, so, and again, maybe this is just my blind trust and faith in the Lord and what he's doing. He's already won that battle. Satan's not going to win Israel. Jesus, I mean, it's taken care of.
Yeah.
So then I stop and go, so why are we fussing?
Yeah.
Why, you know, like we as believers know.
Yeah.
Jesus has won this.
Yes,
like Satan's not going to win that.
Yes.
But yet we act as if we don't know.
Well, you're right. I have nothing
to
say except you're absolutely right. We know the outcome.
Yeah.
We know the victory. We even sing this victory in Jesus.
Right.
We know about all this. So I don't think that answers the question why we argue, but it does address the question, why do we get so lathered up and filled with anxiety and anger and impatience towards one another?
Yeah.
God has already told us how things work out. So you're right about that. My big concern is that along the road to the fulfillment of these prophecies, I just see a number of believers departing from the plain biblical perspective.
Yeah.
I spoke to a college minister the other day and about Israel, and he was very honest in sharing with me his constituency doesn't know a thing about Israel.
No.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. But I don't get it. Every book of the Bible speaks of God's relationship with Israel, past, present, or future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. That just tells me maybe they're not students of the Bible.
And I think sometimes, sadly, we read Scripture as it's this other place.
Yeah.
And for so many people, they haven't been to Israel.
Yeah.
Right? And so there is this part of when I read it in Scripture, it's this thing that I'm reading about.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the translation of, no, it's a real place.
Correct.
And it's that switching over of, no, this is a real place.
Yeah. Well, and for many, an increasing number of Christians, they're minimizing the significance of the land.
Mm.
It's just land.
Right.
Well, I got all that, except that's where Jesus was born,
right,
was raised, performed miracles, spoke magnificent words that have life-changing potential, was crucified, buried, resurrected. He ascended from that place. He's going to return to that particular place. He's going to establish himself in that particular place. It is not just a parcel of land. Now, if Christians increasingly are not appreciating that, I assure you Satan has not has no misunderstanding of the significance of that land. That's the place to which Jesus is going to return.
Right.
Therefore, he's targeting it.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's targeting it primarily through Islam. You talk about controversy. Here we go. Let me be controversial. I didn't say our battle is against all Islamic people, by no means. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about what Islam teaches. It teaches that if a land has been previously possessed, has been in the hands of Muslim people, and then is forfeited or taken over, it's an insult to Allah and it must be taken back. Israel was once occupied by the Ottoman Turks, that's an Islamic group, but now Israel is in the land. This is an insult to Allah. Therefore, there cannot be peace with those people. They must be driven into the sea. Hence this mantra, from the river, Jordan River, to the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. We have to rid the land of these Jews in order to defend the reputation of Allah. So there's a whole spiritual undergirding to the conflict in the in the Middle East.
Yeah. It's just, and it's, you know, and the thing I think we all have to remember is this, unlike maybe other situations or conflicts or wars in our country, in our world, this one's, I mean, God tells us this one's not going to end until Jesus comes back.
That's right.
And so it is that, how are we walking this out?
In fact, we're actually told Israel will have nobody to depend upon, including its own military and its own government, and not even the United States. As I read scripture, the U.S. is going to, its pro-Israel position is going to be severely compromised. And I think sovereign God is going to allow this to happen so that Israel, unsaved Jews, have no choice but to cry out to their true Messiah, to look upon him whom they have pierced, confess their sin, and be saved. And that's exactly what we're told is going to happen.
Yeah.
But in order for it to happen, they have to be in the land to begin with.
Right.
So I hear from people today, modern day Israel is not biblical Israel. I don't understand that. Well, then who are they? And they say, well, they're not biblical Israel because they're rebellious. Yeah, but so is biblical Israel.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
If they're saying the Jews in the land today are rebellious and reject Jesus, of course. But once again, it's from them that the gospel, it's through them that the gospel bears fruit, takes root, and is propagated worldwide. Mm-hmm. So they have to be gathered in the land, even in unbelief, before belief takes over.
Right.
Through tribulation.
Yeah.
So,
and I think I love the distinction you're making of the Israel of the Bible is the people that inhabited the land.
Yeah.
And it's the people that inhabit the land continually now.
Now, people will argue that people of the Bible lived under what's called a theocracy, you know, God as their king. But modern-day Israel is not a theocracy. Mm-hmm. It's a democracy. It's a secular government. Therefore, we're not obligated to support the government.
Right.
Absolutely. I fully agree.
Right.
Any more than we're obligated to agree with our government.
All the time. Yeah. But I think there is this thing that we need to say there is a distinction.
Yeah.
Saying, I support the Jewish people that live in Israel, that abide in that land, is not me saying I support every decision that Israeli government makes.
You are correct.
Yeah. And for some reason, we have to say that.
We have to say it. And that's an extreme position, which as a Jew, I do not support.
Yeah.
That's almost a cult-like mentality. Mm-hmm. If Israel says it, I support it. If Israel does it, I support it.
Right.
No.
Right. You know, I mean, gosh, God even tells us, don't do that with churches.
Correct.
Right? Like, yes. He gives us the ability to think and go, wait, what are you saying? Does that line up with Scripture?
Israel has one of the, in places like Tel Aviv, one of the largest gay communities in the world. Most young secular Israelis are very much in favor of abortion. Do we support these things?
No.
Of course not.
Right.
That's not what it means to be pro-Israel. It simply means to support Israel's right to exist in the land. That's what it means.
I think that is such a good distinction.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Great distinction. But I think it's so, because I think that's where it gets muddy.
Yeah.
Is the, well, how in the world could you defend them doing da 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 da? Well, that's not what I'm saying.
Israelis don't fully support their government.
Right. I don't think there is a government anywhere.
Correct.
Where the people fully support their government.
Yes.
You know, that listen, they're flawed people. That's right.
Scripture tells us we must obey God rather than man. So when a government has a stance contrary to God's, we must obey God, whether it's the Israeli government or the American government.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, like I said, I know this is a, we could talk about this forever in a million different ways. And this was the specific way I wanted us to talk about it today. Just
thanks
because,
for broaching the subject.
Yeah, I think it's good. And I think it is a topic that is happening in the world, and so I think it's good for us in the church to have those conversations as and to get good biblical insight. And so I appreciate
And to part ways as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
If Jesus has joined us together,
yes.
We can't divide over these issues.
That's
right. We can differ, but we can't divide.
Yes. Listen, I think this is so important. if you are ending relationships, family, those kinds of things over these kinds of issues, and you're believers together,
yeah.
or even if you're not believers, but to be able to go, well, we just can't even be in the same room together because we differ. That's when the enemy is winning, and we are losing the priority of the main
question.
Thing.
Yeah.
We have to do a good job.
We used to sing a song in the 70s before you were born.
I was born in the 70s.
Okay. Sort of. So when I was a believer, and it was called "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
I know that song.
Not by our doctrinal statement, not by our position on Israel, but by our love for one another.
Absolutely. Remember to love people the way the Lord does.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's just easier for me to love people who agree with me.
Do you find anybody?
Well, I found one the other day.
Just one.
Yeah.
Just one. No, that's awesome. Hey, but I will say, if this is something where you're like, hey, my family is in conflict over this. This is an issue I'm really struggling with. Y'all, please reach out to Stuart.
Oh, yeah.
He would love to sit and chat with you, give you resources, all those kinds of things. He is a huge blessing and resource to our church family to be able to have these kind of conversations.
So are you.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate you. But thanks for coming on Table Talk.
Thanks, Betsy.
Yet again. And having these conversations, I really do appreciate it.
Really appreciate you.
Thanks. Hey, like I said, I think this is our third or fourth conversation about Israel over the last
months. We'll keep doing it until we get it right.
We'll keep doing it. We'll keep talking about it. So if you go back, you can see all those and listen to those that we've had longer conversations and gone a little bit more in depth on different topics. And so you can go back and listen to those. But thanks so much, Stuart.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. See you next time on Table Talk.
Bye, folks.